Our guest this hour is critical of Time Magazine's annual word banishment poll, which included the word feminist, but also several other words she says are used by young people, people of color, and women, like bae, basic, obvi. We will get her take on Time's nominees for words and phrases that should be banned in 2015, and we'll welcome your thoughts and additions or exclusions. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It is coming up on 9 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Wednesday, November 19th. Do you think any words should be banned in 2015? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Our guest is Amanda Marcotte, a Brooklyn-based writer and Double X contributor on Slate.com. She also writes regularly for The Daily Beast, Alternate, and USA Today. Her Slate piece about Time's poll is called Time Wants to Ban the Word Feminist. And we have posted that on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Now, there was a big outcry after Time put the word feminist on this list of nominees, and that prompted an apology from Time. But the word remained on the poll, along with a number of other words and phrases, like sorry, not sorry. In any case, the results of the poll are expected to be released by Time today. We'll certainly pass them along if they come during this hour, which I doubt. Amanda, good morning.
Morning.
So, was that Time saying sorry, not sorry, when it apologized?
Well, it had a little bit of that vibe to it. There was a very passiveness to the apology, like nuance was lost, which cracked me up because their excuse for putting the word feminist on the ban words list, and I want to reiterate that their ban words list that comes out every year, it's supposed to be cheeky and is not actually a call for legal banishment of these words.
Right, right.
Just claiming the words are overused or misapplied or annoying or whatever. But the inclusion of the word was excused on the list as saying it's somehow overused, that it's too popular now with Beyonce using it and a couple other celebrities announcing that they're feminists. And just, you know, the notion that because feminism is more popular than ever, it somehow becomes annoying, which in and of itself is a troubling thing to say. But, you know, the entirely predictable thing that happened was that people who want feminism itself to go away because they don't believe that women should be equal, or they, if they do, they think nobody should actually do anything about it. The people that kind of support anti-abortion laws, that don't want improvement in police response to sexual assault, that sort of thing, they rushed the poll and voted for feminists, not because they think it's overused, but because they think feminism is inherently wrong and they're misogynists.
Well, you were one of many that expressed concern about the word feminist. Were you surprised by the reaction, the people who took Time to task for this?
No, because I think everybody saw exactly what was going to happen here. If you're a feminist writer or activist online, all day long, every day, you just get garbage and abuse from misogynists, and the notion and the fact of the matter is there's a lot of men and not a few women who dislike feminism, who want traditional gender roles to stay the way they are, who are, because they're kind of bigoted, are abusive, mean people, and they make their presence known online. The notion that there aren't many people that have that opinion is easily disabused the second you like actually go into social media. So it was entirely predictable that they would use this poll to express their belief that this sort of social justice movement is wrong.
I saw some conservative media or commentators saying Time caved when it apologized. What's your reaction to that?
Yeah, you often, the way that conservatives and particularly anti-feminists react when anyone apologizes to a woman tells you a lot about their marriages, doesn't it? Nothing is worse than saying sorry to a woman, is there?
Well, do you think Time's apology, was appropriate or enough?
I wish they would have acknowledged what happened. And when they say things like nuance was lost, they imply that the feminist critics of them were also confused about what their argument was, which we were not. I quoted it directly in my piece. I think we can disagree with that argument. Just because it's nuanced doesn't make it correct. But we also pointed out correctly that the people who don't care about nuance and who were going to flood that poll and make feminists the winner are people that have an entirely different argument altogether, and one that Time said that they disagree with.
It seems to me, though, that they apologize. The apology is on the top of the list of words, and feminist is still there.
Well, that's common practice in journalism, is you don't want it to seem like you're erasing your mistakes and pretending that they never happened. So when you issue a correction, you either append it to the article itself, or if you do change the article, you put a note on it that says what the original article said. You don't want the world to think that you're hiding something. You should really leave your mistakes there for everyone to see and just acknowledge that they were mistakes.
Yeah, for listeners who don't know what Time said about feminist, they wrote, "You have nothing against feminism itself, but when did it become a thing that every celebrity had to state their position on whether this word applies to them, like some politician declaring a party? Let's stick to the issues and quit throwing this label around like ticker tape at a Susan B. Anthony parade."
And you can definitely see the inherent flaw in that argument itself. Like, for instance, should a politician declare a party? Yes, yes, very much a politician should declare a party. Well, since when is that annoying? That tells you a lot about a politician.
Yeah, I remember back in the old days when women often would say, "I'm not a feminist, but I believe in equal rights." It was like feminist or feminism was a dirty word.
Yeah, and I think that's exactly what this article was reacting to, and that's what I think was also setting off a lot of the reaction, which is the argument seems to be that it was one thing to call yourself a feminist when it was unpopular and stigmatized, but now that people who are actual feminists have kind of regained control of the narrative, or gained it if they may have never had it in the first place, and said, no, actually, feminism is just about believing that women are equal and taking action to do something about that. It's becoming a lot more popular. And I think, I all credit to Beyonce for including the very simple definition of feminism in one of her songs so that, it becomes somewhat inarguable. I mean, it's a popular song that's played on the radio that explains what it is. And now I think a lot of people who used to buy right-wing propaganda about how it's man-hating or that it wants to end marriage or something like that are now realizing that it's actually something that they could stand behind the whole time, and they're adopting the label. And the notion that now it's annoying because it's popular is just, it's ridiculous. Either you think that's true because you think feminism should be some sort of elite status, which means that you don't think it should ever actually be the mainstream way of looking at gender relations, or you just kind of don't like feminism, and the more popular it gets, the more annoyed you get.
Well, Time wrote in its apology, "Time apologizes for the execution of this poll. The word feminist should not have been included in a list of words to ban. While we meant to invite debate about some ways the word was used this year, that nuance was lost. And we regret that its inclusion has become a distraction from the important debate over equality and justice. Well, we will talk about some of the other words, some of the other nominees on Time's list that our guest also has some problems with, and we will welcome your nominees, your additions, or your exclusions from the Time Magazine annual word banishment poll. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. We'll check news and then we'll be back. I'm Joy Cardine. You're listening to the Ideas Network. So do you even know what the word bay means? I didn't until just a few weeks ago when I saw it on a list of words that one Chick-fil franchise was banning its employees from using. It's a term of endearment, I guess, like baby, you know, babe or baby or honey, bay. That's one of the words on Time Magazine's words that should be banned in 2015. It's the word banishment poll that came out recently. The results are supposed to be released today, and we are asking you, which words do you think should be banned in 2015? And what do you think of Time's list, which includes words like bay and many others? Our guest has some problems with many of the words on the list. We already talked about why she was upset that Time included the word feminist. And we welcome your reactions and your thoughts and questions, too. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Chick-fil-A was the name of the franchise, not whatever I said. Chick-fil-A. We are talking with Amanda Marcotte. She is a writer. She wrote a piece for Slate.com on the Time Magazine poll, and we're talking with her about that. So you have problems not only with feminist, but you say a lot of the words on this list, like bae, are associated with young people, people of color, and women. Where does bae come from?
It's just a shortening of the word baby, basically. So if you were to call somebody your baby, like your boyfriend or your girlfriend, you would call them your bae. You know, it's just cute. Words often that are common in languages become shortened over time in that way. It's a word that has kind of grown up in sort of like, you hear it sometimes in like hip hop songs. It's used a lot on the internet. It's definitely like slang words or new usages often are. It's amongst poor people and women and young people a lot of the time, and it just sort of trickles up to everybody else, as it were. And so it's a newish kind of usage, but I suspect that, like many of these words, give it a generation and old white men will be using it too.
Well, in fact, bae was a runner-up for Word of the Year from the Oxford Dictionary just the other day. So it's recognizing that it's becoming, you know, I guess, used more in popular culture and in our society. But so, what is your problem with Time using that word or many of the other words on this list?
A lot of the phrases like sorry, not sorry, or nom, 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 or many of them, turnt, things like that are words that are associated with young people, and particularly people of color in this country, younger generations are more racially diverse than older generations. So the two things are kind of tied together. Women particularly, which is not surprising, linguists have long found that young women, of all other people, are the ones who tend to adopt new usages first. So a lot of words that become popular or ways of speaking that become popular over time initially kind of start with young women. Popular examples like upspeak, where when you're kind of uncertain of what you're saying or you're trying to be polite, you kind of phrase a sentence like a question, like that. That used to be almost totally associated with young women, like say in the 80s. Remember when people made fun of that?
The Valley Girl.
Yeah, nowadays, upspeak, I mean, you can hear politicians use it. You can hear leaders use it. It has sort of become the normal way to sort of soften what you're saying or to say a sentence with a period at the end of it, but express uncertainty in your tone of voice. That's a really good example of the sort of way this is processed. And the reason that I have a problem with people saying they're annoyed with things like this, with new slang, or with kind of inflections like upspeak or whatever, is inevitably that's a way to sort of express prejudice against young people, people of color, and women without coming right out and saying it. You're like saying, I don't think those people are annoying. I just happen to think everything about them is annoying. The way that they speak, the way that they dress, the way that they look. It reminds me of the way that people often obliquely express racism by saying that they like all kinds of music except hip hop, which is just very, very, oh, really? What's your problem with hip hop?
So there was a word or two that you were okay with on this list?
Not really. I think that there's a problem with policing words, because of who they're associated with as a general rule. So like they put kale on there, and obviously the reason kale is annoying is like yuppie foodies love kale and they talk about kale constantly and whatnot. But when you give that a moment's thought, it becomes ridiculous. It's like, first of all, why shouldn't yuppie foodies talk about food the way they want? Like, who's that hurting? Second of all, what are you supposed to call it if you can't call it kale? I mean, kale is kale. I think it's not that I'm against these kinds of discussions of words and whether or not they're annoying or whatnot entirely. It's just check your motivations. One thing I think is legitimate to criticize word is if a word is a euphemism or if it's used in a way that is not clear, it is supposed to obscure instead of clarify meaning. So, you know, like they included the word disrupt, which is a really common word in sort of tech speak on the West Coast. And I agree that is an annoying word because it doesn't mean anything. People use it to sound dramatic, like the word proactive or whatever, but it doesn't actually explain what's being disrupted or what that disruption is going to do or like how things are being disrupted. It's just disruption for its own sake. And so, you know, I understand that. But as a general rule, I think if a word annoys you, it's time to stop and think, why does it annoy me? Is it because people are using it instead of actually speaking clearly and expressing an actual idea? Or is it because I don't like the kind of people that word is associated with?
I'm Joy Cardine talking with Amanda Marcotte, who is a Brooklyn-based writer and Double X contributor on Slate.com. We are talking with her about Time Magazine's annual word banishment poll and taking a critical look at this poll. And we're welcoming your questions, your thoughts, your additions, your subtractions. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. And let's go to Michael in Plymouth. Hello, Michael.
Hi there. Maybe Amanda can tell me what my prejudice is. I don't like the phrase, to be honest. And I hear it an awful lot. Actually, I hear it on the radio station. I listen to public radio. Just listening to BBC. I love listening to the BBC News, and they have journalists all over the world, and oftentimes they comment when they're asked a question, to be honest. And, you know, as a journalist saying to be honest, you'd think that was, you know, an understanding that they would be honest. So that really irritates me. And then when people say, and when they write, when you're reading the news and you see the words, that said, so they'll make a comment and then they'll write, that said. Well, they actually didn't say anything. They're actually writing. So maybe they'd be better off writing that written. But those two really annoy me.
Yeah. And so I guess she told us why they annoy him. Amanda, any reaction to that?
You know, I mean, we all have things that bother us, but I have to point out that over-literalness is not actually an accurate gauge of language. I recommend reading Steven Pinker's new book about, I've lost it, I can't remember its name, but he's got a style guide, and he kind of explains this in there. You know, phrases like that, if you read them overly literally, yeah, they don't make sense, but most phrases are metaphorical or placeholders or some other kind of phrase that if we took everything strictly literally, like nothing would make any sense at all. Most of our language is more colorful than that. You know, it's like when people get mad when someone says literally when they mean figuratively. Well, people have been using the word literally to mean figuratively, or literally to mean figuratively. So long that it might as well be, nobody is confused about what you say when I literally was bursting at the seams, you know? And so when somebody says to be honest, I think that most of the audience really understands that what they're saying is, as a journalist, I usually try to take this objective stance, but in this moment, I feel it is appropriate for me to inject my personal view into this. That's a very long phrase that takes up a lot of time. So why not summarize it with, to be honest? Or that said is usually a phrase that is followed another sentence and you're going to sort of modify the next sentence. You can say that written, but that's clunky and weird. And it also defies the kind of sense, particularly in journalistic writing, that you're trying to take a kind of conversational tone in your writing.
Yeah. Speaking of literally, that is one of the words on Time's list. It's, I guess, taking issue with it, you know, being misused. And you're saying just chill, never mind, big deal. Everybody knows what you mean.
Yeah, okay. So I have a really good example of a word that has just sort of changed over time. Like the word awesome used to mean to fill you with awe. So it often was even closer to awful. So, you know, if you saw like a horrible, tragic fire that took 15 lives and you were standing there, you could describe that as an awesome tragedy, right? Mm-hmm. Nowadays, if you called something an awesome tragedy, everybody would think you were nuts,
right.
Because the word has shifted mm-hmm. not to mean fills you with awe anymore, but is just really cool. Cool being, you know, another word that sort of changed its meaning over time. And I think that those things start to stick out to you when you get older because you've actually experienced the transition of the word and you remember when it was used in a different way. But you also have to remember that that's the way of the world. And if you resist it, you're wasting your energy on a fairly pointless endeavor.
Well, the obvi, the word on Time's list that you mentioned is a word used by often young people and maybe young women. They write, you hate this particular unnecessary cloying word shortening as about as much as you hate perf, whatevs, adorbs, natch, totes, and amaze. When used in place of amazing, and it goes on. So you don't have a problem with those abbreviations.
No, and that is a really perfect example of being annoyed by words because they're associated with young women. This is the most common of all, like, the two kind of most common pointless disputes when it comes to slang and new usages is older and often white or male people getting mad at younger female or people of color for their innovative use of language. So, Abby, I mean, those sorts of words, the word cloying already tells you that one of the reasons it is annoys them is because it's feminized. But those kinds of words, if you give it a moment's thought, you can sort of see why so many words have got shortened in the past few years. And it's not so much cloying as a direct result of internet speak. A lot of people access the internet through their cell phones, particularly if they don't have a lot of money or they're very young. And so typing entire words out becomes sort of tedious over time, especially if you use a lot of Twitter where you only have 140 characters to express yourself. So words like obvi kind of emerge because they're easy to type and they don't take up a lot of real estate. It's a very practical kind of thing. It's not cloying really at all. And the fact that people are sort of delighting and coming up with fun ways to do to get to this end point of being very practical and expressing themselves briefly online should be applauded.
We have Charles on Facebook who says, "I'd really like to reduce the use of sucks by youngsters, unless you're talking about a vacuum cleaner. Sucks is usually a transitive verb that requires a direct object, and the direct objects are, in traditional usage, vulgar." So Charles doesn't like the use of sucks by kids. A reaction?
You know, the word vulgar used to actually mean of the lower classes, and now we use it to mean ugly. So if Charles is committed to words only meaning what they used to mean, then he shouldn't have used vulgar in that sentence. Yes, sucks used to mean vacuum cleaner type action. Now it means things that are bad. Words change meaning.
Sarah on Facebook says, "I would be so happy if I never heard or read the phrase dat, D-A-T, blank, ever again. I think dat, butt is, or dat, you know, hinden is frequent."
I feel like a broken record, but I have to point out dat is a word that comes from the African-American English vernacular. It's been popularized by hip-hop artists because that's actually how people pronounce that word, especially if they're, like, you know, in kind of a more slang-oriented direction. And instead of being ashamed of that, a lot of rappers have started to spell it that way deliberately in their song lyrics and titles because they think it's fun and it's funny. And I don't see what the problem with that is. It's people being playful with language, which is something that if we want our young people to be creative and thoughtful, we should kind of encourage them to do, is think even about being creative, even on that sort of linguistic level.
We are talking about the Time Magazine annual word banishment poll. Time asked its readers to vote on words that they were sick of hearing, words that they thought should be banned in 2015, not literally banned, but words that they hoped people would stop using. Some of the words, we've been talking about many of them, but bay is on the list, and kale is on the list. Bossy is on the list. I can't even, a phrase on the list. Sorry, not sorry. And many others. Our guest has an issue with this list in general and a lot of the words and phrases on the list because she says they are words that are often used by young people or people of color and women. And we wonder what you think. We welcome your questions and your thoughts on whether or not there are words or phrases that ought to be banned. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org.
In the way that boys are. feminist, a person who believes in the social, political, and economic equality of the sexes. You wake up.
Time magazine has issued its annual poll asking people which words that we think ought to be banned or words that we wish people would stop using. Feminist was on that list, which prompted an outcry and eventually an apology from Time for including the word feminist in the poll. But there are a lot of other words on the poll that our guest this hour says are problematic. Words that she says are used often by young women, young people, people of color. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. We are talking with Amanda Marcotte, who is a contributor on Slate.com, and we posted her piece, Time Wants to Ban the Word Feminist, on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page, along with Time's poll. So, Amanda, we're getting a lot of calls from our listeners who are annoyed by people who say too much. Maybe they're mad at me. I'm not sure. people who say you know or like or use poor grammar or other pet peeves like that. Just a general reaction. I don't think it's really in the spirit of our conversation this hour, but how important is it that our language is perfect?
Well, define perfect. I mean, a language is for communicating. A language is there to express ideas. And as the world changes, the language will change with it. As new ideas kind of emerge, feelings, modes of communication, the language will evolve with it. There I said, you know, I think that it's important to remember that most of us speak a handful of different dialects. And while it's true that we should all kind of learn to speak standard English to kind of speak in public places, you know, I certainly wouldn't use this kind of slang heavy English when I'm writing professionally, for instance, or speaking on the radio. It's also acceptable for people to get a little more cash, as it were, when they're speaking with their friends or any different context. I think that words like it's very, very important to realize that just because somebody isn't speaking standard English around you doesn't mean they're trying to offend you. It's just they're using the words that best communicate what they're trying to say in the context that they're trying to say it, particularly if they're not speaking to you directly. Mm-hmm. And words like and like and you know are, well, give me a language where people don't kind of just sort of spout off nonsense like placeholding sounds while they're talking. That's more of a tick of human nature. To sort of try to wipe that out, you have to sort of wipe out the way that people are, and I don't think that's ever going to change.
Yeah. A verbal crutch is how I've heard it described, where you are maybe stalling a little bit as you gather your thoughts before speaking.
All human speakers do it.
Yeah. Here's Diane on Facebook says, how about banning feminazi, which is so offensive in so many ways?
You know, I think we've had that discussion for as long since Rush Limbaugh has created that word. Banning it is kind of a fun way to talk about it. I think it's more interesting to maybe talk about why such a word sort of took off and what it says about what people think of feminists. Not that I think that they're right. I think that they're wrong. I would actually argue that such a word shows that how ingrained sexism is, that a woman simply speaking up for equality is considered a harpy, shrill, and even a fascist. That is how deeply ingrained the prejudice against women speaking up for themselves is in our society.
John in Green Bay is with us. Hello, John.
Good morning. I want to comment on just a couple of words, one of which Amanda used herself. I think these are words which have become meaningless. They become more epithets than significant communication devices. One of them is, of course, conservative, and the other is liberal. They're just thrown out basically to condemn people, and rather than communicating some idea of significant idea of a social issue or concern. Another word that really bothers me is the use of no problem. When I say thank you to somebody, I'd like them to say you're welcome. But the constant thing today is no problem, implying that, well, you imposed upon me, but I've handled it. I think that that's more of an insult than a response to thank you. And my last word is Christian. When somebody tells me they're a Christian, I have no idea what they're telling me. Are they Catholic? Are they Lutheran? Are they Baptist? Are they any one of a thousand other organizations that call themselves Christian with very little in common between them? So that's my comment.
All right. Thanks, John. Well, lots to talk about there, but I guess what about his concern about the labels liberal and conservative?
Well, you know, you often see people reject the idea of labels, and it's a very high-minded thing to say, but unfortunately, labels are how we understand each other, which he clearly understands because he wants more specificity in the words mm-hmm. used to describe Christians. So I don't know what the problem with labels is. They're shorthand for general. Yes, most people don't fit the definition of liberal or conservative absolutely perfectly, but it is kind of a general idea. Like, you know, you say New Yorkers, or you say college grads, or you say, you know, Christians, for instance. That is a word that we use to sort of convey a general idea. And if you are speaking and there are exceptions or caveats, you should include those absolutely, but I don't think getting rid of labels is useful. And I want to kind of address the saying no problem to thank you.
Mm-hmm.
I really, really, really do not think that it is wise to overthink the literal meanings of sort of polite responses that we use in daily life. In Spanish, for instance, if you say thank you to somebody, they reply by saying de nada, which is basically saying it's nothing,
right,
which is their official polite response to thank you. So the notion that saying it's nothing or no problem is rude is just simply not borne out by looking at cross-lingual evidence.
Let's go next to John in Sturgeon Bay. Hello, John.
Hi there, Joy. So I'm calling because I really do appreciate the program that you've got going on right now. I'm 20 years old. I'll be 21 this coming January, so I'm relatively young in the grand scheme of things.
And well, you're certainly very young. Go ahead.
Yeah. What I wanted to make mention of was I've used the word bae in an affectionate way with my girlfriend, who I hope to be engaged to some point soon. So I don't look at that as a negative word. And, of course, for kale, I go and buy kale fairly regularly at the grocery store, and I would be quite confused if there was no label right below it. But what I really wanted to make mention of was the use of shortened words like avi and cash and amaze. I'm not really a big fan of social media. I'm not on Facebook. I don't use Twitter. And I don't want to say that I neglect understanding the connections that can be made using social media. But I have been in a professional business setting for a number of years. And what I fear is that a lot of people my age or younger that get used to using these abbreviations instead of the full words will have a tendency to sort of slip those in a professional business setting. And that as a young person in this business setting right now, I can say it is kind of difficult to, even with proper English, assert myself and be respected as much as an adult with proper grammar. So I feel like people that use these abbreviations could potentially be shortchanging themselves in building the social relations that they may not already have founded yet.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, John, for calling. I was just going to say I was thrilled to have a 20-year-old calling the program. But Amanda, your reaction?
You know, I think that it's legitimate to say that different kinds of English should be used for different situations. I would like to see the examples that he's bringing out of people supposedly using these kind of social media abbreviations in inappropriate settings. It's one of those things that is kind of context-driven. I agree that one should kind of tighten that language up a little in business settings. But on the flip side, with email becoming such a common way for people to communicate with each other in business settings, it isn't always inappropriate to use things like emoticons or shortening words to sort of indicate that this is a just between colleagues kind of like coffee chat casual type of email. I do that all the time. Like if I'm emailing somebody and I'm doing an interview request, it's very standard English. If I'm emailing somebody I email with for professional reasons all day long, I might, you know, use a little emoji that's like a tongue sticking out or say obvi or something like that, because I'm conveying that our relationship is closer than that.
Yeah. Well, Jamie on Facebook wants to ban the word banned. So we have just a minute or two left. What do you hope we take away from all of this, this time poll and the controversy over it?
You know, generally I would say that, and I'm not exactly 20 years old anymore myself, so I would generally say that the most important thing is for people to realize that words change, language changes, and if you find that annoying, it says very little about the language itself and says everything about just, you know, what age you are. The language you were speaking when you were young annoyed your elders too, and just that's something to kind of keep in mind when people say things that don't sound like they did when you were young.
Well, we'll leave it there. Thank you so much for being with us. Amanda Marcotte is a Brooklyn-based writer, XX contributor on Slate.com. She writes regularly for The Daily Beast, Alternet, and USA Today. Her Slate piece about Time's poll is called Time Wants to Ban the Word Feminist. Time did apologize for including the word feminist in its poll of words that it is nominating to be banned. They will be releasing the results of the poll sometime today. Thanks to Brianne Chasseau and to Christy Taylor for producing and directing this program. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.